Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Nimrod's Tower and synthetic Christianity. Watching God tear down the globalist tower again. Middle East, a bogus bogey. Israeli warplanes patrolling Middle Eastern skies. Now, wishful thinking perhaps, but there's no confirmation supporting that rumor. Israel is, however, officially exercising restraint and deferring to the U.S. regarding any further response to what's going on in Iran. However, Isaac's sons are expressing sympathy for his brother Ishmael and declaring solidarity with the protesters. What will Trump do? Well, I'll tell you what he'll do, whatever he says he'll do. And he has made it clear what he intends to do here. Khamenei might want to remember June 22nd, 2025. Greenlander Pete Broberg is the leader of the Greenlandic opposition party. That's opposing Denmark. And wants to separate from Denmark and have direct talks with the United States regarding Greenland's future. What will Trump do? Well, he's going to do exactly what he says he will do, and he has spoken to this. Mexico just got its bell rung. Sheinbaum is taking the absurd position that the United States declaring war on the Mexican cartel's drug trafficking operations across our border is illegal and goes against human rights, quote unquote. Well, actually, she framed her opposition to the U.S. entering Mexico to attack the drug cartels that run her country as an encroachment of Mexico's sovereignty and a violation of Mexico's rights. So what will Trump do? Well, he's going to do exactly what he said he will do, and he's spoken to this. Okay, my friends, come on by the Lighthouse, by the way. Let's get personally acquainted. Hope to see you in church. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Dr. Benny Begum, president and founder of Intercessor Ministries, will be with us this Sunday through this Wednesday. This man's ministry has been used to bring revival in churches that are just, it's just outstanding how God has used his ministry. And I'm privileged and honored to be associated with him and to work with him in the Intercessor Ministries. You come on by and meet him and participate in this effort to call God's people back to prayer, which is the most essential thing you can do to encourage revival. Nimrod's Tower and synthetic Christianity, watching God tear down the globalist tower again. Now, Nimrod was the first man to make himself a king and to establish a kingdom in direct opposition to God. You can see that in Genesis chapters 10 and 11, 10 verses 8 to 10. His kingdom was called Babel, and it came to be called Babylon, the nemesis of Israel. He led the people westward to a plain where he established his kingdom. Up until then, the people used natural stone and clay-based mortar for building, but in the plain, in the kingdom of Babel, the people learned how to create synthetic stones called bricks, and secure them together with a synthetic material made from slime. They decided to use these synthetic materials to build the city of Babel. Under Nimrod's direction, they began construction on a tower that would reach into heaven and be a token of their rebellion against God. It was the symbol of their rebellion against the rule of God and subjection to the rule of Nimrod over that one world government. God came down and looked into this operation and said that unless he intervened, nothing would be beyond the reach of these clever rebels. Their rebellion would lead humanity into a devastating clash with the divine power, and Satan knew that. He wanted God to destroy mankind from the planet. He almost succeeded when he corrupted man till God repented that he had ever made him and then sent the flood to wipe them out, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God destroyed the tower and splintered Nimrod's kingdom into multiple kingdoms all over the world, divided by language and geography. And thusly came into being the kingdoms of the world. And ever since the fall of Nimrod's tower, Satan has worked in and through the children of disobedience to recreate the one world government ruled by a man dedicated to Satan, a man of sin, a hater of God. These are the builders of Nimrod's tower, and the material they make great use of is synthetic Christianity, the synthetic church. The true church is made of lively stones, but the synthetic one is made of bricks for stones and held together by slime for mortar. These churches worship at an altar of hewn stone. The tools of flesh have put their mark on these stones and their brand. Satan, through his chosen agents, uses every means possible and employs artifice and synthetics to mimic God's creation. He builds his world in power, brick in the place of stone and slime in the place of mortar. But every time he almost succeeds at getting his tower built and the world brought together into a one world government under his power, God intervenes and brings it all crashing down. History is the record of this cycle. Men under God, seduced out from under God to be brought under some man, usurping the place of God in their lives. And these creative devils produce a synthetic world, fake, out of alignment with reality in order to establish a power structure in opposition to the Creator and to bring man and the resources of the earth under the power and direction of his chosen chief rebel, his Nimrod, who then proceeds to subordinate and to subjugate man to the planet that God told man to subdue and to come under the rule of the creatures that God put under man. And all the while, the goal is to eliminate mankind from off the planet, to replace him with synthetics, to replace human intelligence with artificial and human bodies with robots. Think about it. When Satan gets near his goal, which is to bring all mankind out from under God and instead under the rule of his chosen Nimrod, hint the Antichrist, God intervenes to disrupt the plan and to bring down the synthetic tower and break man's strength to expose the synthetic alternative Satan has crafted, which serves to separate them from God's reality. Woke agenda, trans, all this nonsense. We might never know how close our enemy came to setting the capstone to this latest effort to revive Nimrod's tower, but God heard the cry of his remnant, the true church, the authentic lively stones, and came down and raised up a champion to expose the synthetic construction, to destroy Nimrod's tower, and deliver us from the oppression of tyranny and those who take the kingdom by force and violence, and oppress and steal and kill and destroy all who oppose them. You are watching Nimrod's latest tower crumbling before your eyes. And here's a look at some of the deconstruction work underway right now. Take a look at the Middle East. Iran is erupting a nationwide revolt against the tyrannical Khomeini. This is by far the largest revolt we've seen since the jihadi Islamists took over. Israel is officially exercising restraint and deferring to the United States regarding any intervention while expressing brotherhood and with the protesters. Nice to see Ishmael and Isaac make some efforts toward peace, don't you think? What will Trump do? Well, whatever he says he'll do. And he's made it very clear what he is prepared to do. Khomeini might want to remember June 22nd, 2025. From Amnesty International Deputy Director for Middle East and North Africa, Diana El-Tawai. Quote, people in Iran daring to express their anger at decades of repression and demanding fundamental change are once again being met with security forces unlawfully firing at, chasing, arresting, and beating protesters in scenes reminiscent of the uprising of 2022. End quote. We watched blithering, do-nothing Obama puppet Biden with all talk and no action, reflecting Obama's response to the 2009 uprising in Iran. Remember that? Where the brutal, murderous regime used violence to deny human rights to Iranians, and Obama did nothing. And likewise, again, Biden did nothing. But what will Trump do? Let's look at a timeline of protests against the oppressive Islamist regime. The takeover of Iran by Islamists in 1979 was met with mass protests, quelled by the murderous regime with brutal violence, and it was totally ignored by Carter. The student uprising of 1999 to 2000 cried, "Down with tyranny and hail to freedom," and "Khamenei, shame on you," and "The Mullah's regime must be ousted." And as that regime ratcheted up the murder of protesters, it went to, we will kill those who killed our brothers. While President Clinton did nothing, said nothing even. Now, he was too busy diddling Ludinsky. They tried again in 2009, 2010, but Obama answered their cry for freedom with platitudes and no action. I mentioned Biden's insipid Obama-like response to the 2022 and 2023 riots in Iran. His platitudinous responses mocked the Iranian scream for freedom. Yes. What will Trump do? Well, in response to the Iranian protests in 2019, he declared sanctions targeting Iranian leadership, their banks, and oil exports. Responding to the current widespread revolts, Trump has said the U.S. is, quote, locked and loaded and ready to go, end quote. And that was in the context of warnings to intervene militarily if Iranian authorities violently kill peaceful protesters. Read this article. I've got it linked in my notes. Trump says U.S. will come to their rescue if Iran kills protesters. I'll continue with my tower deconstruction analysis that is underway right before our eyes when we get back from the short break. How do Greenland and Mexico
encounter God? The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real. Have you ever complained against the White House and the House of Congress for despising our laws, showing contempt for our Constitution, and turning their back on our founding values and beliefs? Does it seem the Lord has forsaken the people's houses? And by the way, how's your house doing? Perhaps there is another house you should think about, the house of God, the church, which according to Jesus is the pillar and ground of the truth. He told us not to forsake the house of God. Have you? How long has it been since your family gathered with God's people in His house? God can fix the White House and the House of Congress and your house too. But remember, He begins with His own house. Every great revival has begun with a return to the house of God. God will return to our houses when we return to His. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us in the house of God this Sunday. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Pete Broberg, he's the leader of the Greenlandic Party that wants to separate from Denmark and have direct talks with the United States regarding Greenland's future. Well, what will Trump do? Well, you know, he is very transparent about his intentions. He will do exactly what he says he will do. And what has he said? Look at a map of the Arctic Circle. You will immediately see what Trump means when he says Greenland is critical to the national security of the United States. Denmark claims Greenland is part of the Kingdom of Denmark. Historically, it is. As Greenland's opposition leader, Pete Broberg, has said, when everyone is looking, Denmark says Greenland belongs to the people of Greenland. When responding to the United States about strategic importance of Greenland to U.S. national security, Denmark speaks of Greenland as if it belongs to Denmark, and that the people of Greenland have nothing to say. They can raise a legal objection to any agreement made between Greenland and the United States by appealing to international law, claiming Greenland as a colony of the Kingdom of Denmark. However, Democrats oppose everything Trump does because it's Trump that did it. Yawn. That's getting boring. Some foolish Republicans are chastising Trump for saying he intends to explore a full range of options, including military action. But Trump has never been vulnerable to manipulation like they try to pull on some politicians, cornering them into making some kind of a statement. He'll just say, yeah, all options are on the table. He's not going to rule out any option. Some of our allies in NATO who object to talk of a military option, including Italy's prime minister, who usually stands with Trump and whom we like very well, but now some weak, short-sighted, and not-so-smart senators and representatives have made the asinine argument, namely, that Trump's rhetoric about acquiring Greenland is, quote, not an appropriate way to treat an ally, end quote. Okay, let's agree with that. We should treat our allies appropriately. So, hey, Denmark, you're an ally. And for you to refuse to take seriously the need to secure Greenland against the enemy of an ally is abominable behavior, a foul and vile way to treat any ally. We are offended at Denmark for inviting Russia and China to occupy their ports and establish a presence on an island so near the United States. It's a violation of an understood alliance. If Denmark wants to be a proper ally, well, it should discourage and even deny any permanent settling of Russian or Chinese presence in Greenland. Methinks Denmark doth protest too much. Think of the irony of that. Have Russia and China been allowed to secretly place arms in Greenland? Now, that's something I would like to have investigated. We must have Greenland fortified against the enemies of the West, and a NATO member who refuses to allow that is not a proper ally. That's no way to treat an ally. Look, you have neighbors, right? Property line separates your properties, right? If a neighbor began building cannon along the property line aimed at your house, I think you would have something to say about that. Thinking about Venezuela specifically, but Greenland too. If your neighbor began allowing your enemies to array assets on their property line with you, or to establish a presence near your property line, well, I think you would have a legitimate beef with that neighbor, would you not? At the national security level, the Russian and Chinese presence in Greenland is very near the same thing. Denmark is a lousy ally that has neglected the responsibilities and duties of a true friend and ally for far too long. At this point, not only has Denmark done nothing to secure the West from encroachment and endangerment of the U.S. and Canada, from the extension of Russian and Chinese power into our territory, into our backyard, but at this point, Denmark clearly does not have the will or the resources to adequately protect our national security interests. But I will guarantee you that should hostilities break out with our enemies, and they were threatened, they would be expecting the U.S. to protect them. Yeah, that's when they would start carping about being a member of NATO since 1949 and blah, blah, blah. Enough of this nonsense. And thank God Trump has put the spotlight on all of these issues. Many things I never even thought about some of this stuff until he started talking about it, like the Panama Canal kerfuffle. After all of Panama's posturing, defiant rhetoric, and chest-pounding about Panama's ownership and sovereignty and rights and all that business, all of which we have respect for that, by the way. But even though the original agreement stipulated America had a right to insert itself if there was ever a concern about United States security, listen, at the end of the day, Panama did exactly what the United States demanded, and the issue went away. It ended. They ended their participation in China's Belt and Road Initiative. They increased coordination with the United States on canal security and strategic oversight and limited Chinese influence over terminals and ports. Trump would do the same thing for Greenland. It let Denmark sound tough and big and independent from the big brother ally. Who cares? Who cares? So long as they take meaningful action to secure the United States' national security interests, that's our focus. That's our concern. That's our interest. The problem is, Denmark does not have the capacity to do this without turning Greenland's security over to the direction of the United States. And for some reason, our friends in Denmark, our allies, balk at receiving this service. Because it serves them too, you know. Or does it? At the bottom line, Denmark is angling for something from the United States it has no claim to. Man, the love of money is always at the root of soul rot. And that would be the best case scenario. The worst case is that Denmark is secretly betraying its obligation to its U.S. ally in service to our enemies. What are they getting from Russia and China for access to Greenland? The resolution in this matter rests with Greenlandic people. They need to call Denmark's bluff and declare independence. With America standing behind them, I don't think that'll be a problem. If it is, that tells you something else. It's not enough that Greenland, as a territory of Denmark, is within the protections of the NATO agreement. Denmark's NATO membership is worthless if this ally is unwilling to contribute to its allies' security interests. So Trump is right again. Mexico just got its bell rung. Sheinbaum is taking the absurd position that the United States declaring war on the Mexican cartels, drug trafficking operations across our border, is, quote, illegal and goes against human rights, end quote, said one ex-poster. Actually, she framed her opposition to the United States entering Mexico to attack the drug cartels that run her country, by the way, as an encroachment of Mexico's sovereignty and a violation of Mexico's rights. And ordinarily, we would understand that and agree with that. We'd feel the same way. But we have a similar problem here to the neighbor lining guns up along our shared property line. Only in this case, our neighbor is aiding and abetting criminals from their side of the line to cross our property line and to bring in illegal drugs and to distribute them on, well, my property. And she's been told about this repeatedly and asked to do something about it. The problem here is that Sheinbaum is either unwilling or unable to get the cartels in her country under control. Her unwillingness to aggressively and meaningfully address her drug cartel problem would be a problem for her to address if it were not that the United States is the target of the Mexican cartels she's refusing to address. You know, back, I think it was in the 1800s, the French philosopher Frédéric Bastiat famously said, quote, when plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living together in society, they create for themselves, in the course of time, a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it, end quote. Now, we've watched that happen in our own country. Those pondering this and other statements by Bastiat have summarized it succinctly. Quote, when the state does not fight criminals, it is because the state has become the criminal, end quote. Or, when Mexico refuses to fight the cartels, it is because Mexico has become the cartels. You know, Romans 13:1-6 teaches that any power, authority, or government power and so on, that refuses to deploy the sword he has given it to exercise wrath against evildoers, has removed itself from under its ordaining authority, and therefore has lost its divinely ordained capacity. In other words, when a government uses its power to protect the evil and punish the good, it has lost all legitimate authority. I return to the good neighbor illustration. The prior U.S. leaders who did nothing about border security and the Mexican cartels' operation across our border were acting in the interests of the cartels. And I expect if you traced it to its root, you'd find the roots of that policy getting nourished in narco-terrorist money. Trump is dedicated to the interests of the people of the United States of America and serves this country giving his paycheck away. He's doing it entirely out of his love for the country and his fellow countrymen. It's all very simple. Sheinbaum, you are a lousy, good-for-nothing neighbor. You do nothing about these cartel devils and expect us to sit around and take it. Well, we're done. You've had more than ample time and opportunity to show aggressive diligence to take care of these evil people in your country and stop them from peddling their evil. And we've offered to help you before. Their murderous business being conducted here in our country is intolerable. You nurture them, you protect them, you provide cover for them, you aid and abet their wicked business in our country. You won't or can't take care of it, so we will. Oh, looky now at this. Now, Sheinbaum, you want to, quote, urge closer U.S. coordination, end quote, after, quote, Trump threatens attack on cartels, end quote. Let me caution you that Maduro tried that. You know, that sudden fall trick? It doesn't work on him. You can't play around with this president. When are you guys going to figure this out? Anyway, the New York Times, try the Sun, it's more honest, but the New York Times reported that Trump secretly signed a directive authoring the immediate use of military force against the cartels. So check the clock, Sheinbaum, it's ticking. Nevertheless, I hope for your sake, El Presidente, that our El Presidente, El Jefe himself, President Trump, is amenable to some serious cooperation from you. If you haven't figured it out yet, let me help you. Trump always tells you what he needs you to do. And it's always the right thing and something that should have been done a long time ago. If he starts talking about the use of military might to encourage you to do what you know is the right thing to do and that you apparently refuse to do, trust me, he's already laid out the plan for the execution. That doesn't announce the beginning of plans. What that announces is plans are in place, the trigger's ready, the gun's cocked, we're ready to go. He never deals in threats. That's stupid. He's uninterested in intimidation. He is never going to play Mexican standoff with you. When he says we're locked and loaded and we're ready to go, you know what it means? It means we're locked and loaded and ready to go. It's not a threat. It's a fair warning. It's not intended for intimidation. It's intended to give you notice that you need to do the right thing. He fully intends to pull the trigger on his promises. Now, that's the way this president rolls. He will never waste time on posturing, chest puffing, or braggadocio, as people think. That's not really true. You'll never see him try a Maduro dance, screaming, come and get me, or such nonsense. You got to be kidding me. It's very straightforward. What you're doing is wrong. You need to stop it. You're refusing to stop it, so here's what I'm going to do about that. Sometimes it's going to include a specific timeline. If you fail to execute on your word or on what he's required of you to do, he's going to execute his. He's going to do what he said. I would think these people would not be so slow and so dull and would catch on. My friend, I've lit the lamps of the Church Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. And I'll give you the phone number to call in just a moment. So get ready. But go to brainmassage.net, find the contact us button, click and send it. Well, you'll fill out the form there and send it to me. And then you can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. Here's that number. 1-805-314-2114. I'll repeat it again. If you want information about the church services, when we start and all that kind of thing, where we are, whatever, directions from wherever you are, and more information about Dr. Benny Beckham and the Intercessor Ministries and the wonderful privilege we have him with us this week, call. Here it is, 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.